Now it's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader Matiria Ture.
Hello, Matiria, are you there?
Kia ora, how are you doing?
Not so bad, how are you this Monday?
I'm good, thank you.
That's great. Let's get into this, shall we?
Let's do that.
Cool. So Labor and National both announced their transport policies yesterday. Labor pledged to spend $15 billion, which tops National's $13 billion plan. And they're also allowing councils to impose local fuel taxes to pay for proposed infrastructure. Some commentators are calling Labor and Greens' transport policy essentially the same thing. Can you tell me what the key differences between them are?
Sure. It's very similar. And I have to say, we're quite pleased. Like, it's, you know, we've been campaigning on Brooklyn Transport for a very long time, particularly on light rail, and Julianne Genta has been doing some amazing work in Auckland. And I think you know, the Greens need to take some credit for this, because if we hadn't been so persistent on our campaigns, I don't think that the other parties would have gotten anywhere close. So I'm quite pleased about the work, and I'm pleased that we finally have the other two parties vying for that same for those same policies, because they're important. So one of the core differences is that we would do it an awful lot earlier. So the light rail from the CBD right through to the airport, the Auckland Transport Planners have confirmed our view that we could do it by 2021, which is about 4 years' time. It would cost, going to cost a bit, about $2.5 billion, but it's doable, and the sooner it's done, the better, because costs only explode the further, you know, your time frame is. Labor would do it in 10 years, which I just think is just a bit too long. It takes, you know, that's three terms in government, and, you know, Aucklanders are desperately in need of something a little faster than that. There's, you know, by and large, the funding is not that dissimilar. Some of the a regional fuel tax is one of our options too. There's some land value capture that's possible, but primarily it's about looking at the money already in the National Land Transport Fund, the transport budget, and making sure that the projects that go ahead are genuinely value for money. And there are a lot that are not. So some of it, quite a lot of it, will come out of the National Transport Fund as well.
Cool. So before, you said that maybe Labor's transport plan was quite influenced by the work that the Greens had done. Do you think that the Green Party has maybe pulled Labor further to the left in terms of transport?
Well, I don't know. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure if it's, I guess public transport is a left thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure if that's the way I describe it.
Yeah.
But it is about, it's possibly actually more about pulling Labor closer to what is sustainable, that this infrastructure is critical and we can't just keep delaying it.
So you are taking credit for that then?
Oh, I think we can. I think we've been the party that has been the most consistent on, for example, light rail. And like I say, Julianne has run a number of campaigns, North Shore Rail to the airport, significantly reducing the cost of building new motorways so that we have all the money we need for really highly effective and affordable public transport, for cycleways. Safe to Schools was a huge, was a significant investment plan for making it safer for kids to bike and walk to schools. So, you know, if parties are persistent like we are on issues like that, like public transport, like climate change, like poverty, it tends to, and the issues that are important to New Zealanders, it does tend to pull the other parties, and I think that that's happened.
Right.
I think it's good. It's really good that it's happened. Hmm. You don't want to be a lone voice on these issues because you want change. So we're definitely not complaining about it.
Sure. Well, speaking about parties being consistent, one of the key differences between National and Labor and Greens policy is that National wants to keep focusing on building more roads rather than focusing on the rail link, which is something that they've been consistent about over the past few years. So one thing that National wants to build is the East-West link, which neither Labor or Greens seem too keen on. Why is this?
It's just unnecessary. I mean, it's the same with the Wilford Road as well. Both cost around, if I remember rightly, around $2 billion each. This is an extraordinary amount of money to be spending on roading where there's very little, if no, financial case to be made, you know, the value for the spend. And when we know that the alternatives, like light rail, would cost a similar amount, but would move, you know, thousands and thousands more people every day more efficiently and with less cost. So, you know, National, I've never quite understood National's hard commitment to roads. If you look at the value for money options, and the value for money options, particularly for citizens in Auckland, is that if you spend that money on public transport, they'll use it. And public transport in Auckland is already, you know, gets full to capacity every time there's a new option, because that's the best option for families to use.
Right. Well,
so it's silly to be spending it on roads.
Well, for the west, the east-west link in particular, is not necessarily about citizens, it's about industry, and the reason it's being built is it's helping people who need roading, to like such as courier drivers, to get their job done. Do you not think that maybe they need more infrastructure, because they can't, obviously a courier can't just hop on a train with a parcel, so do you not think that they need more roading to support them?
Well, one of the options, this is the thing where you have really highly effective public transport, is that if the more and more people who travel regularly and daily and regularly on the roads are moved from those roads to public transport, then you leave out more space and more time for those who are having to do it for business. I mean, this is why you don't have only public transport, you have roads as well.
Sure.
And you have good roads, and you have, you know, well-constructed and safe roads. I mean, this is, you know, it's not an either-or, but it is about being careful and thoughtful, really, about the planning for what is actually needed. And one of those things, so, you know, the east-west thing, the base, after effective, affordable, and efficient public transport is provided, there may be a case for something like it. But until then, I mean, there isn't one. So I just think that we need to be really practical about where we're going to spend our transport funding. And the most practical thing to do, and where the greatest need is with highly efficient passenger transport. And that can be done. It can be done for the same money as it's being spent on some of these roads.
Right. Well, if it can be done, what's the guarantee that people are actually going to take it once it's implemented? I mean, sure, you've got a rail going to the airport, but what about heading from suburb to suburb? Say, if I want to go from Greyland to Mount Eden right now, it takes about 45 minutes and multiple buses via public transport, but it's only a 10-minute drive. A rail to the airport won't fix this, will it?
It's longer than a 10-minute drive. I've lived in Auckland, and I travel through Auckland quite a lot. So, I mean, I'm not going to be able to solve that particular problem today, but if we have more efficient public transport, that is, so you have much more regular buses, for example, more regular trains, you have the light rail that makes sense all the way from the North Shore that heads out to the airport. If all of those options are provided, then it does give people the option to be able to use public transport instead of being able to drive. So this is not about saying that roads will never be used or built. It's saying that the first and most effective use of the transport dollar is on efficient, affordable public transport. We know that people will use it because every time there is an improvement in public transport provision, then it gets over capacity very quickly. So people are crying out for that. And so if we provide that, then that will free up more time. So if you need to free up more time on the road. So if you do need to get very quickly from Greyland to Mount Eden, it will be easier to do so. It's just, you know, this is what transport planning is all about. It's what planning actually is all about, is looking at what people need to do, where they need to go, how can they best get there that's most efficient and affordable for them, and making sure we provide it.
Right. And you mentioned making it affordable. So right now, Auckland's public transport costs are the third highest cost internationally. Why are people going to keep taking public transport when it costs so much, and what can we do to reduce the prices of it?
Well, again, I mean, all of this will come out on Sunday when we release our transport plan for Auckland. So there's a whole lot more detail still to come, I should say that, because it's, Auckland Transport has been really important to us for so long, and it's going to be an exciting announcement on Sunday with Julianne. But of course, if the more effective the transport is, the more efficient it is, and the greater the priority of public transport in government transport planning, then we can start to bring the price down. I agree that it is quite, here in Dunedin, where I live, it costs like $5 on the bus from North Road into the city. And that's, you know, that is quite expensive for people who are commuting every day. So we need to make sure that there is effective funding of public transport so it is affordable for everyone who's using it. It's particularly the case for where people live in poor areas. And so, for example, in the south, in Auckland, it's particularly difficult down there with public transport, and we need to make that much more affordable because, you know, cars, frankly, are more expensive to run, and people are stuck because they don't have access to the transport that they need. So there's still a lot of work that needs to be done with public transport. I won't say we're going to solve it, all of the problems with it instantly, but the Greens are the ones who've had the most consistent plan for how to deal with each of the issues in public transport. And we've been talking about those for nearly 20 years, and I'm very pleased that the party that we may well be in government with after September is coming to the party on it.
Right. So moving on to you potentially stepping down from a ministerial role if Labour Greens are elected due to a recent omission of benefit and voter fraud. Jacinda Ardern has not condoned your admission, and she did call for you to step down from ministerial roles. This seems to not be a very empathetic approach from someone who claims to be fighting systemic struggles faced by New Zealanders. Do you think that maybe Labour Party is not as progressive and supportive of changing systemic injustices as they let on?
Jacinda's entitled to her view, and so is the party and their party, and I understand where they're coming from. I think it is true that the Greens have been the only political party to stand up for those who are the most denigrated, the most discriminated against. And what we've seen with what has been an incredibly intrusive investigation into my life is that this is what happens to beneficiaries all the time. Every dollar that they spend is questioned. Every minute that they, you know, do anything is questioned. All of their relationships are questioned. They are questioned as to whether or not they're valuable human beings and whether they're good people because they're poor. This is what you're seeing happening to me is what happens to them every day, because we still have a system that treats poor people like they are inherent failures, like there's something wrong with them.
Sure.
And so, So the Greens, what we've done, at some cost, what we've done is expose that. And we've exposed it across institutions and across the media and across other political parties too, I think, who have a much, who, you know, not necessarily Labour, but certainly others, who have a much less compassionate approach to those who are poor. And we're asking New Zealanders to reject that cruelty, to promote and support compassion when it comes to poor people, because what we're seeing as a result are people literally dying on Auckland streets from cold.
Well, Labour is part of your coalition. You guys are inherently tied together politically. Wouldn't it be perhaps nicer for the Green Party if that they were more supportive of giving amnesty to people who have committed beneficiary fraud, rather than saying, and I quote, you can't condone law-breaking and ignoring the systemic issues that are at play and punishing them decades later, like we've seen with you?
Yeah. I would like that. I would really like that. But I'm not going to get everything I want. What I know for sure is that the stronger the Green Party is in a Labour-Greens government, the more of our policy we will get through and the stronger we will be to make sure that things change. And so this is why I'm saying the party vote for the Greens is the only vote that's going to get that truly progressive change, because we're the only ones prepared to literally almost put our lives on the line for it. And that is a choice that voters will have. If they want a truly compassionate government that takes care of people when they are in need, then give your party vote to the Greens so we can make that happen in a government with Labour. We're all in with this. This has been one of the most difficult, but one of the most important political conversations this country has ever had, as to how it is that we treat people who are in need. And we can do better. I know we can. And I know we all want to.
Okay, Materia, thank you so much for your conversation today. I hope you have a lovely afternoon.
I will. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
That was Materia Ture for the Green Party. The Wire.